Hello, I'm Jeremy Rivera, your unscripted podcast host. I'm here with Toba Loba, who is a SaaS creator that I ran into on Threads. And he had an interesting platform that he's developing. Why don't you introduce the software that you're making, its objective, and then we'll take it from there.
All right, Jeremy, it's my pleasure to be here. My name is Toba Loba Sulaimon, and I'm from Lagos, Nigeria. And I built this platform that transcribes audio files. So basically, it takes in audio files, processes them, and it brings out the text. So there are many other platforms that do this same thing. Big names: Otter, we have Rev, we have Fireflies, we have so many. But Our main differentiator came from the fact that those tools don't understand African languages. So that is where we come in as a platform that solves that problem. So as it stands, we understand, I don't know if you know these languages, but we understand Igbo, we understand Yoruba and Hausa, and most especially Pidgin, then English. So that's basically what the platform does.
That is an interesting challenge. I find, you know, African languages like Xhosa, Hosa, particularly interesting because of, you know, their glottal stops. You know, you have clicks and intonations that can completely change, you know, meaning. What were some of the challenges that you had in designing that software to be able to parse these languages correctly?
Okay, basically, our main, I want to call it secret recipe or something, but it's kind of classified, so but I can hint at it. So what I did was that I built an engine. So basically, we call it a server, but I want to call it an engine because what it does is it now processes it in a way that, okay, let me give examples. So for instance, if you have a Yoruba recording, so in case you don't know, Yoruba is a language, right? So if you have a recording that Yoruba was what they spoke on it, so other tools will just filter out those unknown languages and bring out the English, or they would translate it to the nearest English that Yoruba sounds like. But we don't do that. We take all of them and we pass it the way it is said on the audio. Yes, so I don't want to say too much, so I want to review our main infrastructure. But that is what we do. That is basically what we do. So it's how we do it, I don't want to say.
That's fair enough. And that's always the challenge of doing an interview when you're doing a breakout. You know, you are taking something that's understood and common and trying to disrupt the market. But it is an interesting concept because, you know, as we delve into the machine learning age, a lot of the knowledge bases out there and a lot of the thought and process flows through English. So I think having a solution for, you know, other languages, it's weird as an American. You know, we are so soaked in our own language that we often don't think about how the shape of the world can change based off of the way that you speak language, because there are concepts, you know, because I've been learning German, Japanese, Spanish, and French myself, like on the side for years. And there are concepts or there are sayings or there are ways that languages are constructed that have meaning that doesn't quite translate. There's no like one-to-one, you know, translation for it. So you kind of cobble together this thing that kind of means the exact, a close approximation, but there was a an Amazon tribe that they found, and they have no conception of time in their language.
Oh,
everything
wow.
happens right now. There's no word for the past. There's no word for the future. They don't even have different words for color, certain colors. They don't have the color blue. They don't have the color purple. Coming from like the linguistic angle, what's been kind of the process as you've been developing this app of, you know, crossing those language barriers, crashing through them, or leveraging them to help market your product?
All right. So before I start, I want to give a quick background to the main reason why this has came alive, right? So I use these tools, right? I use them to process my recordings in case I want to quickly summarize or create minutes from meeting recordings and all that. So we had a meeting one time, and some people in that meeting were speaking our local languages here. So when I uploaded it to the tools that we have, like the main tools that people have created before, like Otter and others. So when I uploaded it there, they did not even just like transcribe it like that. They just skipped it. So they saw it as noise. Like maybe it is not in, or maybe it's not a language, maybe it was mumbling or something. So they just skipped it and just like brought out the English spoken there. So I saw it as, this will be a problem for me when I want to start bringing out information from this recording, because tangible things were said and their machine did not capture that. And I thought that since I am a software developer, maybe I could build something that would solve this problem. So I just built it as a personal tool. So I didn't have to make it public for people to use and all. I just built it as a personal tool. So I was using it. Then in my church, I'm a Christian, so I attend church. They give us assignments. So how it works is that they give us recordings, teachings, sermons in recordings. So we'd have to go back, study them, and bring out and submit assignments based on the recordings. So most times when we want to answer those questions, we transcribe the audio so we can get the content of the recording in text format. So sometimes I use those two. So we do it a lot. So one day someone saw me using my tool. I felt like this tool would be useful for him too, because it basically does what it is a large sum to. So he said I should publish it. I should make it public so he can also use it and so other people can also use it. So I just felt like it is actually true. I'm not the only one facing this problem. Maybe I could target those that are facing the problem. I want to mention something. We are African first. So we are not targeting the Western market. We are focusing on ourselves first. So we are African first. So I'm trying to solve this problem within Africa first before we move on with other people. So across Africa, we have almost, there are so many languages, right? But there's not enough funding to cover all those places yet. Now that it is a SaaS and it is public and we're about to get registered, I don't want to like split our attention too much. So I want to go in a strict direction, then I'll split when the funding comes. So for now, we are only doing it in a country. We are only doing it in my country, Nigeria, before we can think of expanding. So that's basically what we are doing right now. Later on, you can consider moving to, you can consider expanding our capabilities to the languages that other African countries speak.
I love it, because there is that, like, this is one of the challenges of, you know, developing a SaaS tool, you know, is determining, you know, who is my target demographic? Who am I trying to reach? And, you know, there is that scope creep element of like the moment you make one thing, then it's like, okay, do I make how it does that one thing better or more effective, or address the 15 bugs, you know, oh, when you upload with this type of tool, you know, there's these audio burrs and I want to fix that. Or you get that first person who uses it and like, oh yeah, it, can you also do this thing that's very similar, but it's not the same thing? You have this like horizontal versus vertical challenge when it comes to SaaS development. So I think it does make sense that what you've laid out, let's narrow down, let's look at the languages spoken within my particular country first, before you start to challenge those other, you know, because once you pass your own national boundaries, then you have the dialect challenge, right? Of it's the same language, but it's spoken a little differently over here. So I could definitely see digging in and trying to go deeper into your vertical and, you know, a focus on solving small bugs or making the platform or process for it as robust and as stable as possible, you know, work on your local marketing as much as possible before going too horizontal. Because I've had that challenge too, because I worked at a SaaS company called Raven Tools, and we got kind of big for our britches. Like, we did reporting for SEO agencies, but then we said, oh yeah, we could do PPC reporting and social media management and PPC management. And the more that you spread out horizontally, you do broaden the audience that you have overall, but you have to maintain even more of it.
Yeah, that is very true. That is very true. That's basically what we are trying to avoid, scope creep. So we are trying to not do too much and target and solve problems. So we are not just trying to like turn out money or do that is the goal, but we are trying to solve problems. So we are not just adding a lot of features that people need, because some of them make sense, but they don't actually help us at the moment. So there's a lot of planning and decision making going on the ground, because as it stands, I said before that it was a personal tool, but now I have a team that work together. We've been speaking to people, making consulting, experienced people in this field, and been planning, and we'll be rolling features and upgrades step by step, not just how I put it, not just coming out just like that. So they have no surprises at all, even with their many ideas. So they are trying to avoid that scope creep, so that we'll not just iterate the app, iterate, thing. It just becomes jack of all trades, that it just does everything. So we don't want to do that. We want to take it one step. That is what we are trying to do.
I'm curious a little bit about your past. You know, I check out Autrans online, and it seems like you've got a pretty robust, you know, site and process. Do you have training in history and SaaS development? Is this your first SaaS platform that you've made? And where did what other team members would you like to shout out for their contribution of skills?
Okay, before I start, I want to say that I built Utrance. So where it stands today, I built it solo. So I don't have other engineering partners on the project as it stands, but I plan to, because as we scale, I may not have to code or plan for it. I'll have people to do that for me. But let me just say that Utrance was built solo. Now, about my background, I started coding around 2 years ago. So that was when I just came out of high school, and I felt like I wanted to study computer science in school. Yeah. So while I was preparing to enter college, I stumbled upon some YouTube videos teaching how to code in HTML, CSS, which are, those are the foundational concepts in software development. So I just went deep into it and found myself so deep that it was all I could think about at the point. So I built some projects, not serious projects, like just practice projects like calculator, mini games, and some landing pages. So I was just learning, I was a starter. Then I needed exposure, right? I didn't exactly go to a bootcamp or learn from some. I am a self-taught software developer. So I learned everything I know today online. I learned it by myself. I studied. I watched a lot of courses. I watched a lot of videos. I've read many documentations. So everything I know today, I learned online. I do have a mentor, which I would like to shout out to. His name is Emmanuel Abraham. So he's my mentor, a back-end engineer, and he's 10 years into software development. So sometimes I do ask him some questions, ask him for advice on big decisions I'm about to take. Yes. Now, so after about 1 year of just playing around with knowledge I know, building mini projects, I felt it was time for me to break out and just make it known that I do software development. So I got on social media and created profiles. Then I started posting what I did. And my main platform I was X, which is formerly Twitter. So Twitter gave me a lot of exposure of how tech world, software engineering world works. Although there's a lot of noise there, but I could like filter out art that is beneficial to me. So I met some great people, very intelligent people, and I kind of watched what they were doing. So I thought that I could do something. So after studying, after learning and practicing for about a year, I got my first deal. So I built my first real product for a real estate agent. The website name is realtorbb.com. So that was my first official website built for a client. That was my first official transaction in business in software development. That gave me a lot of confidence to see what I could. So I did not consider applying for big jobs then. I just thought maybe I could freelance it. Just go along this and see where it is. So that was when I started reading books. I boosted my confidence. I read a lot of self-help books. So this helped me in changing the way I should now. So around January, I felt I should do more with myself, with my skills. I should not hold, not say because Although some people, because of the time I started, they will consider me that insulted. I do not see myself like that. I see myself. I don't want to say that, but I walk. So I do not think in my head that I am a movie. I don't scope. I just do stuff. I don't do stuff. I don't clap. I don't limit myself. Then I started. I started getting jobs. So I got my first software engineering role at game company as a front-end developer. This part is very key because it is one of those things that helped me. So I signed to work for them as a front-end developer. I was the only developer on the team, and the skills I had then was for front-end development. So working for this company, a lot. Like, they didn't just want me to work around what I knew. They started giving me new challenges, and that helped me a whole lot. Being the only person on the team, I had to like research a lot and touch some areas in software development. I don't think someone of my experience should be touching. So I was picking some levels and I was doing it fast. I would go sleepless night. I would not sleep. I would just study and work, and I would make and I would deliver, right? I would deliver even as they may see, they think I'm young and I'm new to this field. I just deliver. So they started giving me more complex projects. So what I do there is like, I work. I don't know. It's kind of, they pay me. It's salary based, yeah. But they bring in projects from clients, then they give it. They pass it down to me. Then I build, and I deliver to them. So I think it's contractor based or something. It's contract based or something. So that's how it works. So they bring in. So because of the way I deliver, they were confident enough to collect, to take in complex projects. So those projects help me build my mentality that I can do this. So I can do bigger things, right? And that started about 6 months ago. So the first 6 months of this year, sorry, first 6 months of this year helped me build my confidence and my way of approaching. The issue of me having problem transcribing audio files started around March. So, sorry, the first version of our SaaS Ultra, it came out about in about 1 week. So it was a side project. So I just built it over the weekend, and I was using it on Monday. So because of my tight schedule at work, I could not keep up with the content making I was doing there on my social media profile. So I felt like, what should I do to keep up with, to continue being consistent on my social media profiles? So I felt like maybe showing them that project would help. So I will have something to show that I did not just go on a hiatus or something, that I'm still here, I'm still building, I'm still doing stuff. So that coupled with the person I met physically, that I should publish it. So that was what led to me launching it as a SaaS product on the 10th of May. Yeah, I think that's basically it. So looking at Ultras. So the Ultras now has about 100 users, and we have about four paying customers that I do not know personally. So that is basically selling itself. The fact that I do not know those people means that they saw the product and it solves a problem. So we are paying to use this solution. So
I think that's the good mentality too of I've had a couple of different interviews talking about empathy and understanding that as a business, you're making money not because people are doing it for charity. You're understanding that they have a pain. There's a pain point. There's a problem that they're experiencing. And so what you're bringing to market, what's generating revenue for you is, that band-aid, that cure, that process that alleviates that pain that that person's experiencing. If they were trying to get, audio transcribed and it's just not working for their native language, like, yeah, that's a genuine pain point. Like if, Riverside wasn't, so good at doing transcripts, I'd have to seek, a secondary tool to try to get these audio files for my own podcasts transcribed. And I remember back in, 2010, the process for getting transcripts was long, arduous, and expensive. So I can definitely see the market for it. And that's kind of the secret of a SaaS tool is like you do have to have like a large enough user base who have like a shared problem that your SaaS can solve for them.
that is very true.
So I know you wanted to go deeper in keep it in Nigeria and focus on improving the tool. You've got your secret sauce. Is there anything that you can say about upcoming features that you're working on right now or something further down the roadmap for the SaaS and project that you already have that you feel good kind of releasing into the public? Hey, we're going to be doing this next, or we have a vision for hitting this goal in the next quarter or two.
That's a very good question. Now, to users, that's a very good question. Yes, as I said before, I have been planning. Experience. I've been partnering for trans. So now, it started as a personal tool. Then I just published it to see how far it can go. Now it has proved that it is marketable. Now I'm pushing for it. So features that I want people to look is mobile access. Now I will be launching mobile applications. I'm launching it on app Android and Apple Store, Play Store and Apple Store. Then I'll be adding more features. More features because around the world of audio, there are a lot of ideas I've come up with. And there are a lot of ideas I can take from, I won't say company, other software company, other company that are doing the same thing. So basically, we will now turn our chance. And we make it solve more problems. Okay, our main moat is the fact that we understand African languages. And audio transcription is used in other places. It's used in meetings. Sometimes it is used as a note taker. Sometimes they have a bot to join meetings. Sometimes there's a whole lot, right? And sometimes developers use the APIs in their own software products. So it is basically expanding to turn into a real software. So users should look forward to, users and potential users should look forward to mobile access that they should have it on their mobile phones. They should look forward to seeing Altrans as, okay, I won't say this, I would be revealing too much. So, but a lot is coming. There's a lot to look forward to. And our goal is to expand to reach all that we have in Africa before we consider moving Asia and others. But as it stands, we've added more languages, right? So that means people in diaspora that speak our language can use it too. So as it stands now, Altrans understand 10 languages. So it doesn't just understand Nigerian languages at all. It understands French, it understands Spanish, it understands Arabic, and popular languages. There are about 10. So we added our own languages. So there's a lot to look forward to. There's a lot to expect from us. And we are concerned. And we'll be revealing more information very soon.
Fantastic. Well, I appreciate you stopping by and sharing a bit of your story. I'll make sure that the app is linked in the show notes, and I'll be messaging out to the people that are in the newsletter, give them a chance to check out your platform and what you've been working on. Thanks for stopping
by.
Thank
you so much, Jeremy. It's an honor to be here.